kind of being not. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like it's putting you in the back in the original plan of God.
It puts you in the first time you see grace in the Bible. It said Noah found grace in the sight of God. Mm-hmm. But that grace did for him. Everybody else got dropped. But God told him how to live.
See? Wow.
So grace is so powerful. I see this morning I prayed and I walked through with grace. Mm-hmm. There's 159 times I'm talking about grace. And grace comes to the humble, glory comes to the wise, and shame comes to the fool. So grace is a humbling factor. Look at Acts 4:33. That's your class. Acts 4:33.
And with great power, he gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all.
What was in the middle of that? What's in the middle of that? Talk about great power, talk about great grace, but what's in the middle? Witness about what?
Resurrection.
Yeah, of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is a grace fulfillment that put us in another dimension of grace. He was the grace in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus put us in another dimension of grace. Come on over. Scripture that we talk about, 2 Corinthians 8:9, grace chapter about giving and receiving. But it said, but we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet he became poor for our sake. No, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, he became poor, that we might become rich.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the poor rich I'm looking at, it's the grace. So you have to know grace properly. And so Satan, I don't want you to know grace properly. Because he wants you to know the improperly. So a person can legalize sin and just sin and say, grace got it. But that's not the way God wanted to talk. Apostle Paul taught it different. Apostle Paul taught grace as a great strength to keep you in power. Great power, it's great strength, great power, great grace. So Lord, this morning, Lord, minister me by grace. They want to study grace from the perspective of how valuable grace is, because faith can't work without grace. See, when you go back to the original format whereby what we were saved, we get ready. But by grace, what we say is through faith, that is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Now the cross of Christ. Cross, the burial, the resurrection, all in that statement.
Mm-hmm.
But that would produce the grace. So the source of grace is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, grace and glory in the New Testament. So grace make it easy for faith to work. For you to trust God to give you the ability that you don't have. But on the other hand, Satan had to be taught where you fall, and grace is death. Great grace is always death. But you don't want to learn it that way. Why? Because if you learn it that way, you're looking for a fall and a rise, a fall and a rise. Grace is supposed to keep you up. Look at Hebrews 4:16. And there's a need that arises. A person who understands grace can get help quicker than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. So men need to know that if you're going to live a life that is victorious, it's going to have to be by grace and faith. Paul knew that. Paul kept giving his benediction He said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be on you. May peace. May grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be on you. He kept putting grace on those people. Going back to the cross, going back to the resurrection. So he asked Paul like one time, made the statement that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What came out of that? Grace.
Mm-hmm.
See, so God set up a throne of grace. He never set up a throne of faith. That is in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Because we've got a right to come. That we can find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. When is the time of need? Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. As long as we live in this world. It's not that you suffering or something, but I have a need every time I wake up. I have a need for God to give me the right instruction, the right strength, the right direction, the right protection that I can hear for him.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that a man or a woman can live a life of God, it has to be a grace life. So that's why I say Satan trying to flip-flop grace. And
make it hold on the direction, make it misconstrued.
Make misconstrued it, and then now you have a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
A person can go to hell like that. Mm-hmm. It's a false sense of security. What it does, now look in Galatians 2:21. What it does, when you see the 42 words, you understand. What it has been doing, robbing us of our strength because we have done what to grace?
Frustrate.
Yeah, we frustrate the grace of God. What read that scripture?
I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
See. So you don't frustrate the grace of God. Why? Righteousness come by grace.
Mm-hmm.
Does not come by law. Protection come by grace.
Mm-hmm.
So if a man get a handle, what did Paul go to him this morning? If a man get a handle on grace properly, that would be a strong man, a strong woman. Because grace is something already paid for, and then when you're flowing in grace. Let me say this way. When you're flowing in grace, you're flowing in faith. It's a gift from God. You're flowing in faith. So, in other words, you walk down the street, something to trap you, something to throw you, grace will go up straight out of you, walk right on through. You don't even know about that. Because grace removed you. See? So when a man and a woman learn how to live under grace, they live under the power of the resurrection. Now, believing become easy because I know that it's already done and that I'm moving through that strength. That's why he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. The throne of grace that we may see grace and mercy to help in the time of need. So in the book of Romans chapter 5, read that. Romans 5:1. Because it talks about standing in grace, but it tells you how to get to grace. And most people don't know what grace is. They think it's a little thing. What do you say? Romans 5:1.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep going.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Where
access by faith into this grace whereby we stand, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So grace is a faith.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is a foundation of God's goodness that it was set for us to live on, to walk upon. It only works by faith.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to apply faith and don't understand grace. We believe, we're not receiving. Why? We're not receiving because it's already there. So grace, grace us with the understanding that what I'm believing for, even though it's invisible, even though I'm looking at something else. I'm looking at a line trying to take my head off it. But grace see through that line and see the Lamb of God that they've already paid for to defeat every lie that comes in my life. So a grace life is a life of humility, a life that knows that I'll fail, but I'm going to keep walking in grace. And as I walk in that grace, my failing comes less. See what I'm saying? And then my faith becomes stronger. So I was just sitting on it. Mm-hmm. Paul relied on grace. This is what Paul said about the grace of God. I am what I am. He said, the grace that was bestowed on me was not in vain. I live more than you all, but not I, but the grace that is good. So he depended on grace. Always, the Apostle Paul, in all of his epistles, as I read them up 159 times, he talks about grace. In Paul's epistle, he was a grace man, but he understood grace. He understood that grace was a gift from God, it was a foundational gift, a foundational gift, not to misinterpret. One of Satan's greatest strategies is for a man to misunderstand grace, mm-hmm. or a church to misunderstand grace. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a horrific job in doing it because grace is being displayed. Grace is being placed in weakness when grace will be placed in strength. A portion of the grace should not supposed to be weak. A portion of the grace is going to be strong. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the way he taught it, the way he's trying to teach it now is that you can be weak and walk in grace. Almost the weaker you are, the more grace you walk in. That's not so. The more weak you are, the more Satan take advantage of it. See what I'm saying? But when a man learned, I read it, strong grace. The Bible talks about strong grace. So when a man becomes strong in grace, mm-hmm. he becomes a strong man. They're like you're strong in faith. So suppose a man is strong in grace and strong in faith, unbeatable, untouchable, unstoppable. But there are men who try to get strong in faith and they don't understand that you can be strong in grace. Now the Bible, I read one of the scriptures this morning. It talks about strong grace. But I know strong grace is drawn from a strong revelation of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible talks about Jesus. When he first came on the scene, the Bible said two things about Jesus. He was full of grace and full of truth. Why? I mean, why? Why we say when the Bible talks about Jesus' ministry, he said he waxed strong in spirit, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's how he explained Jesus when he took out his ministry. Talk about three things. He was strong in spirit, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's the way he explained it. Starting his ministry, go back. When John talked about him, John said he was full of grace and full of truth. And so if the enemy could get another measure of grace in the heart of the people, from a different perspective and not the right perspective, the strength that is in grace. Grace don't even sound like a strong word. Mm-hmm. But the strength, see, grace got power in it to defeat the enemy. Because grace already has defeated the enemy. So you go back to the original, going back to God's original plan, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not a work. It's a gift of God. So the gift of grace is the thing that would make a man, a woman, a family, a ministry strong. If grace is in its proper place. But grace has been depleted of God's intent by man. Mm-hmm. God intended for it to make you stronger. And the dilemma that we have. Man said grace take out the man. You see. So God, grace, cover you with his favor, that your faith can lock into it. And grace plus faith is victory all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible called the Word of God the Word of His grace. So in order to function in grace, just like functioning in the Spirit and functioning in life, you got to have the word. See? And so God grace his word. And then suddenly, God grace his word, covers his word with grace. And you get into that word, and now you cover with the grace of the word. And Satan can't break through that. Because it was grace that raised Jesus from the dead. It couldn't stop him. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was grace that held Jesus when he was crucified. He couldn't destroy them. So if grace kept Satan from destroying Jesus, grace keeps Satan from destroying us. Mm-hmm. It's just simple, you know. And so that's why diluted grace. Diluted and polluted grace. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because he tells everybody who's doing wrong, you're all right. So now there's no conviction coming. No conviction, just prayer. Say, Lord, I know your grace coming. No. So that person will never see their potential grace. Mm-hmm. Grace has such a potential in it that it's beyond every spiritual attribute. Beyond every spiritual attribute is grace. Because grace is a gift. He said that, Paul said one time in Romans 4:17, when he talked about calling things that be not as though they were, and how Abraham had to be able to fully persuaded that what God had promised he would be able to perform. Paul said that it may be of faith, that it might be, no, that it may be of grace, that it might be of faith. So if something is not of grace, it's not of faith. Look at Romans 14:17. See what it says. Or 16. Romans 4:16.
Therefore, it is of faith that it might be
a grace. Okay, so it's by option. It's of faith that it might be a grace. When you're working with faith, you gotta work with grace. When you're working with grace, you gotta work with faith.
Mm-hmm.
The two go together.
Mm-hmm.
So like a twin power.
Yeah.
Or power.
Yeah.
And faith. Faith can't work without grace, and grace can't work without faith. Faith can't work without grace, and faith can't work without faith. Mm-hmm. See, grace makes faith easy because faith is not powerful enough to work without grace.
Mom.
Amen.
Hello? Hey. Can you hear me? Hello. Yeah, you're right here. Alright. Hold on. It's access. Right?
Grace is part of redemption.
It has redemption quality to it, but it's more access than redemption.
Well, grace is access to redemption. Redemption does not mean coming from something.
Mm-hmm.
It hits something before it comes.
Good.
In other words, grace will give you strength not to go where you don't want to go, not to do what you want to do. Gives you outrageous grace.
Mm-hmm.
But see now, on the other hand, what grace taught, grace gives you the right to go where you don't go where you don't need to go.
Right.
So the question for a lot of people under the false understanding about grace, and therefore it created a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been living by grace for many years, and the grace of God have kept me
from
it. And that grace came from the power of the cross, power of the cross, power of the resurrection, power of faith,
mm-hmm.
all wrapped up in grace. She agrees with everyone, the power of the cross, the power of the faith, and the power of the resurrection is great. The power of living a holy life, a sanctified life. Paul says, your body is a living sacrifice, holy said to God, you have to be done in grace. Be not conformed with the world, be not transformed, but being transformed or renewed in mind, you got to do that under grace. It all got to be under grace.
Yeah.
You know that? Third verse of that 12th chapter says that man should not think more highly of all than the opposite, because God has dealt with every man.
I'm trying to figure out.
See that third, Romans 12,
too. I hadn't seen the Lord in God in a while. Okay.
For I say, through the grace given
unto me. See that? I thought that was the Holy Ghost of mine.
Mm-hmm.
For I say through the grace given unto me that a man should not think more highly of himself than the opposite. Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out.
Because God has dealt with every man who made your faith.
Yep.
See?
Thanks over.
Yeah, thanks over. So Paul Paul was the greatest. But he understood from Acts 4:33 where grace came from. You're not going to have no grace if you don't witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gives our souls a grace that calls the favor of God to give one. And when you think of grace, when you think about his goodness, how kind and how much of God has been to you, then there comes a man along the heart, I don't want to sin. I don't have to sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm stronger than sin as long as I stay in grace. I don't use grace to get me out of sin. I use grace to keep me out of sin.
I just want to get out.
So the same grace didn't get you out, the same grace didn't keep you out. You see that?
Yep.
You see that? And so when the enemy displays grace, he won't put grace in a place where you constantly getting out of trouble. He don't want you to know that if you function in grace, you never got any trouble. So when you get in trouble, when you get in trouble, yes, grace is available, but consequences will be there too. So now if you use grace in the right perspective, you'll never have the consequence. Because you can fall, grace will get you out. But the consequence, grace is not going to remove consequences. Why grace can't remove consequences? Because Satan is a legalist. He's a legalist. He's a legalist. So he'll hold you to what you've done. Now God will denounce the damage. But he's still got to get Satan got to get something. Because he'll trick you into his territory. He'll trick me into his territory. So now, these 43 years, I've learned how to walk, get the Lord to help me, by pre-grace, not post-grace.
You can't get it to me directly.
You see the deal? Pre-grace is, I let grace describe my life, that when Satan made an offer, I shut it down before I take it. Post-grace is, after I mess up, then I got grace. But then I got consequences with it because Satan is a legalist. Yeah, he's a legalist. He's pre-grade. I never heard it before. Pre-grade and post-grade. So if you live the lesson like Preston tells you, they'll tell you about post-grades. They'll tell you about God going to pick you up. I mean, grace is there, but now you have committed a grace crime. Really, what it is. Commit a grace crime, then grace got to get you out of that grace crime. But yet you got the consequences of that. But if a person learns how to live pre-grace, in other words, grace becomes your security, that when the enemy try to break in, grace arrests him before he takes you out or steal from you a moment of your life. See, Satan's job is always steal a moment out of your life, steal a day out of your life, an hour, or a moment out of your life. And now you're no longer on the offense. Now you got to be on the defense. You're always fighting to get back. But grace put us in the position of offense. You can't make me do this. You can't take me down the road because I got enough supernatural grace or supernatural power in me to know that's you, and know that grace already been defeated by Jesus on the cross, where the grace was manifested. This type of grace was manifested. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I guess the man forte of living the life of Christ is understanding. Understanding these qualities, these things. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be able to walk ahead of Satan. You know things ahead of him. And he said that with great power, they give witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them. So as long as a man witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're going to have great grace upon him. A man had great power and great grace, and nothing can penetrate him. So I allude to the fact, have I made mistakes all these years? Yeah, absolutely. But I didn't practice them. So I think the great grace and the great power have kept my life up to this moment. In other words, I never, like I said, I never heard the term pre-grace. You know, somebody thinks it's a new doctor, but it's not a new doctor for me to understand. In other words, Not grace after the fall. Grace that keep me from the fall. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore he can't do nothing. When I'm walking that type of grace, I understand grace at that dispensation. Then that's the power of the resurrection. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And said that I might know him, the power of the resurrection, be conformed unto his death. And the fellowship of the Son conformed unto his death. So if you stay dead, that's the key. Stand dead. Grace will keep you dead and alive at the same time. Dead to the wrong life, alive to the right life. You think about grace, you think about God's goodness, you think about what God's done for you. See one of them about to mess up. That's a temptation. And then the Holy Spirit can get our attention and reveal to us how much God loves us, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. We dare not step on the other side of the line. Because now, well, we know what we have is better. Whatever's on the other side of the line. Whatever's on the other side of the line, we know what we have is better. Not only do we know what we have is better, we know what we have is greater. Not only do we know it's greater, we know whatever we have is stronger than this. So therefore, you walk in a strength of grace and a strength of faith that is beyond measure.
Yeah.
Impossible. Yeah, got 159 scriptures on grace in the Bible. Bible talk about cry. When you got a mountain you can't holler, hammer, cry grace to that mountain. The sense of old functioning of grace, a covenant of grace to have with God. We got a New Testament grace with the Lord. So the Apostle Paul, the secret to his apostleship, the secret to, he says, by the grace of God, I'm a wise master builder. You always give God grace to credit. So you lean in and depend upon Jesus Christ, him crucified, resurrected, and ascended. That's why Paul ministered so strongly in the mother boy's ministry. Even though Peter didn't believe in the resurrection, but Paul undoubtedly studied it more, and he understood grace better than he did. That's why Paul said he would preach the gospel to the Gentiles. God called him to the Jews. You don't preach no gospel, you're no Jew. You know, anybody outside the Jews, you don't preach no gospel. But the Jews, that's what their problem is, they hang them now. And they are God's chosen people. And they are God's chosen people, but they're still looking for a Messiah. He's already come. Well, why? Well, what they're looking for is, they're looking for an earthly kingdom. They're not looking for the kingdom. The Bible says, I'm looking at that text this morning, in Hebrews 12 chapter, we have a kingdom that cannot be moved. That's powerful, boy. Then it says, we did one question, Hebrews 12, a kingdom that cannot be moved. What good is that? So they said something about serving God. Serving God in fear. You see, that the kingdom cannot be able to be controlled. We got away from it. Not that we're going to get away from it.
Verse 28.
Verse 28. Yeah, verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28. Mm-hmm. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Then he tells us some instruction now. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, if I don't understand grace, I don't understand what grace plays in my life, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to be able to obey it. I receive it. Or in other words, I got a kingdom on the inside of me that can't be moved. Satan can't move that kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But If I don't understand that kingdom is a kingdom of grace, let us have grace. No question, I give an instruction. Whereby we may, number one, serve. How? God, acceptably. Number two, how? With reverence. Number three, and godly fear. Number four. Now, look what it said at the 29th verse. Satan knows this. For our God is a consuming fire. He has to deal with sin. He has to deal with people who disrespect him. But if Christians walk in the grace of God, they can reverently walk in the grace of God, and they know that they got a kingdom on the inside of them that can't be moved, then they in total victory, you see. Therefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. So that means you can serve God unacceptably. Mm-hmm. With reverence. What do you mean by reverence? What does reverence mean? Respect. You come to a place that I have come to a place in my life that I respect God, that I honor God, so there's no offer that can be made to me that telling me is greater than what God says for me to do. With reverence. And godly fear. Now, godly fear is the fear of the wrath of God. And that's what the other grade tell you. There's no wrath. But yeah, that's the wrath of God. Because here's the greatest wrath of God that a man will ever receive. That Satan has God hand tied with an accusation. That we constantly doing the same thing. Satan got God hand tied. The wrath of God is God can't give you the mercy and grace you need at that moment. You got to stand there and look at it. Because Satan, every time he and the hip says that no. No, she did. And so that if you don't have God to fear in you, if you don't have reverence, respect and honor in you, Satan will get you every time. Mm-hmm. So you gotta let the Holy Spirit place in you, because you got too many people offering you things and saying things ungodly and saying, oh, it's all right, and making excuses and twisting the Bible. Turning the revelation of the Bible and make it fit their case. See, but I bet you take rid of the people that don't have reverence, they don't have respect and honor, because that comes from grace. They don't have to fear the Lord. That comes from grace. Fear does not mean I'm scared of God. Mm-hmm. Fear means that I love God because of all God has done for me. Mm-hmm. See? So it's great. So, you got right there, revealing Eden. See, grace is a revelation of the new Eden that's on the inside of you. Yeah. In other words, Adam and Eve had that Eden, but then that Satan talked them out of it. God don't mean what he said. God means what he said. Mm-hmm. By his word, see. You know what I'm saying? God means what he said. But he said, God don't mean what he said. So, let's take grace and display what God says. Mm-hmm. And don't worry. Because grace, God is a God of grace. So grace came from God. How is God going to take his own grace and his own what he said? So if a man would study, the family would study grace and learn how much grace means to them and to God, and how much grace caused them. Mm-hmm. Grace caused God, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus was grace, full of grace and truth. Right? When he died on the cross, he died full of grace and full of truth. He died sinless. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when he died, he placed that grace in our account. He placed that truth in our account. That we as men of faith, men of God, could be saved by grace through faith, to live by grace through faith. Therefore, now we serve God. God has accepted us. We give reverence to God in that verse. And we fear God. We give reverence to God. We fear God. We fear God. We fear God. Follow me. Grace. What you got to think about?